Emmanuel and Mara, I can't believe y'all are leaving. We've already filed the adoption papers. So, yeah. I don't know what it's going to be like without you guys. We really do thank you for your... Well, you have caught us by surprise. We would like to make a presentation from the church to you, and I'm going to have to do it in private at your home, I guess, tomorrow. But we love both of you guys, and thank you so much for entering into the family and the fellowship and just being a part of it. We really appreciate it. We'll share more about this next Sunday, but we have as many as 20 Hispanic young people who are coming to camp, and that's going to change the dynamics of what we do, and we hope a lot of you speak the language so that you can help us with this, but we'll unpack a little bit more of that a little later. I want to read to you one verse. This is from, it's about noon now, and at about noon, most of our stomach timers go off. And they begin to gnaw and carry on. And as we've said before, if we go a couple minutes longer than we typically do, think of yourself having a cross-cultural experience, as we've often said. One of my good friends came out of a service in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. It was a three-hour long service. And when he came out, he said, it got downright frisky in there. I haven't been to many Presbyterian services that I would describe as being frisky. Maybe one day God will take us there. This is one verse, powerful verse, and I want to remind you this is not my idea or anybody else's idea. It's God's command to us. This is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. It's actually in your bulletin. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7 reads, "Remember the days of old." That's a command. "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you." May God help us to understand and apply His truth. We're living in the month of May when there are a number of festivities and celebrations that sort of jog our memories. The first one is May Day, and many of us don't celebrate May Day. Any of you remember the Maypoles? Vaguely. school picnics and this kind of thing. In some parts of the world, it's a much bigger deal. It's related to labor now and that kind of thing. And then Mother's Day comes, and Mother's Day is a big bash in this country now. Many mothers get more gifts at Mother's Day than they do at Christmas. More people go out to eat on Mother's Day, maybe except for Thanksgiving. So it's a big bash. It's a big time. Today is Presbyterian Heritage Sunday. And a few weeks ago, we hosted the Synod meeting, and the exec of Synod is an ethnic Korean. And he stood here and said, "I am a Christian because of churches like Bethany and Duncan Creek. This is where Presbyterianism took hold." And then in about 1880s, when Dr. Jacobs was here, is when the first Presbyterian missionaries went to Korea, and the church was planted. And so folks like Haewon Rim, our Synod exec, came to know the Lord. And so Presbyterian Heritage Sunday is when you sort of recount some of those. And then, of course, this is Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend. And historically, we've remembered those who died on the battlefield for this country, but it's become more generalized, and many times we remember those who've gone to be with the Lord, people that we knew, people that we loved, and so on. And so for those reasons, I want to reflect about the power of memory for a few minutes. But, this whole matter of jogging our memories and thinking about the past happens in a lot of different ways in our homes and so on. Why, for example, do we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week? The resurrection. Every time we gather, we're remembering and proclaiming His resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. The table is covered with a beautiful cloth, but right under the cloth it says, "This do in remembrance of me." Who is me? And when do we especially remember His death? And during the communion, the Lord's Supper. Okay, so in the fabric of a lot of what we do, we're jogging our memories. And I think in our day and time, it's critically important to remember the importance of memory because we tend to live in the now, right now, instant. I was going into Bilo's to get some groceries yesterday, and there were a number of high school students who work at Bilo's who were outside sitting around in a circle, and guess what they were all doing? What's that?
Looking at a yearbook?
No.
Smoking.
No. Well, maybe that was going on. But come on now. These are high school students. What are they doing? Okay, they're all texting each other, okay? They're all sitting in a circle, all texting. And I said, what would you all do without your iPhones? They say, it's not an iPhone, it's an Android. Okay. Now, if you go right inside, the older generation of Bilo employees are taking a break, and they're sitting around a table talking to each other. You know, what a different time in which we live. But we jog these memories, and it's important for us to remember how important it is. So let me give you some reasons. Some of what happens out of memory and jogging the memory. Number one, when we remember, there can be the possibility for repentance and renewal. One of the classic examples of this is recorded for us in Nehemiah chapter 8 and 9. Remember, the people had been in exile in Babylonian captivity. They'd been brought back under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. And Ezra stands up and he reads from the law. Now get this. They haven't heard it literally in generations. They haven't heard the scriptures read and expounded in generations. This is closer to home than you may think. Some of you have been reading the news and watching the news about the killing of the soldier in the streets of London. And the riots in Sweden. Now some of the politicians will say, you know, we've got to do better with our economy. We need more jobs. There's actually, in my opinion, a culture clash occurring in Europe. Some people call it the Islamization of Europe. I wouldn't go quite that far. But most of the immigrants, a lot of the immigrants are coming from North Africa, and they come from an Islamic background. And when you talk about culture, you're talking about values and belief systems and all that, and there's sort of a clash. And in many parts of Europe, there's a spiritual vacuum. And Muslim people see that, and they seize that and want to enter into that. And so... Like in Europe, it can happen here. We can go for generations without having heard the word or expounded. Now listen to what Nehemiah says. This is Nehemiah chapter 9. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day and spent another fourth in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. You know, as they heard the word, they said, oh my goodness, we didn't know we were supposed to be doing that. We hadn't been doing that for generations. Oh my goodness, we've been doing the very things that the Bible says don't do. Oh my. So this memory, the jogging of the memory, brought conviction and repentance and is a consequence of renewal. And you see this cycle happening again and again in Scripture, remembering, repentance, and renewal. The Lord Jesus said to a church that was sleepwalking in Revelation 3:3, remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. And you know, frankly, every time we gather as Christians, there is the potential to remember, repent, and renew. The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled. You know, I have been in services here when some folks right before communion have exited and been reconciled with somebody else in the service and then come back and partake it. I really appreciate that kind of integrity, that kind of honesty, taking the scripture seriously. And so you see this dynamic that Oswald Chambers, the great, one of the greatest devotional writers, said that memory are God's ministers to us. There's the ministry of memory, as he would put it. And so when our memory is jogged, it can lead us into repentance, which can lead us into renewal. A second thing that remembering does, especially in a personal family context, it can build family solidarity and establish roots. You know, if I mention the word Thanksgiving, some of you immediately think of the aroma of your mother's turkey and dressing. If I say Easter or Christmas or something or a birthday, immediately you think of some family. When family has traditions, it serves as roots for us. It kind of brings us back home. And every family has its own traditions. You know, every family has its unique peculiarities, and I mean that in a very good sense. There was a family down in Montgomery, Alabama, that wanted to have a big family vacation. Well, the father was just overwhelmed with work, and he said, look, I'll help plan the vacation, and then you all are going to go to the West Coast, and you're going to go up and down the West Coast camping and seeing the sights. So they charted it out. The father got the maps out and got the calendar out to where they would know every place they were going, when they would be there, what they were going to do day to day, the places they would see, help pack up the station wagon before, this is before minivans were real popular, packed up the station wagon, got everybody in, mom and the kids all got in, and they head out. Now, father knows exactly where they're going to be at every day, and the piece that he didn't tell them was he had actually asked off from work. So he makes arrangements to fly to a certain city, and at that city he made arrangements for somebody to take him out to a highway, knowing when he knew exactly when his family would be driving up. So here is his father with a smirk on his face, sitting on his sleeping bag on the side of the highway, waiting for that station wagon to come. And there he sees it. He sees it coming down. And, you know, the kids are all in the car, and they're looking at this person who's now stood out on the side, the shoulder, looking for a hitch. And they look at, you know, look, that looks just like, oh, my goodness, it's Betty. You know, it's amazing they all didn't go into cardiac arrest and drive off the road or something like that. But they, father joins the crowd. You can imagine the conversation that went on. And they probably retold that story again and again as dad joined them way out in the boonies, 1,000 miles away from where they thought he was working and sweating. Somebody asked him, why in the world did you take all the time to do that? And he responded with these words, well, someday I'm going to be dead. When that happens, I want my kids and wife to say, you know, dad was a lot of fun. We're constantly building memories, and memories bring us back. Several years ago, Susan and I were reading an article out of Reader's Digest of a young father, had three kids, age 5, 3, and 2. And this father was 25 years old and had been diagnosed with brain cancer, and had been given about 2 months to live. And he knew that his kids weren't going to remember him too well. So he took the remaining days that he had to fill out a video library, just talking to the children on video, introducing himself, reminding them of experiences that they had that they'd probably forget, and actually coaching and teaching and instructing them, leaving them a memory deposit of who he was and how dearly they were loved and cared for. When we build memories in our families intentionally, deliberately, it roots us. It creates family solidarity. It causes us to want to come back. Another thing that memory does, it helps us to learn the lessons of history. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians is reminding the people of some of the great events in the Old Testament, and then he says this, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. You know, if I don't learn the lessons of history, I'm going to live a shallow present. History informs and gives me perspective. It gives me understanding. You know, I'm just going to sort of skim the surface if I don't have this perspective that history can offer. One of the reasons the Jewish people want to constantly remind us of the Holocaust is they know human nature hasn't changed and they don't want us to do this again. Every year in our country, there's Black History Week. And one of the things the African American community visits is what happened many years ago. What one group of people did to another group of people. And, you know, we need to remember that, because they're more in slavery, especially in human trafficking, sex trafficking today, than ever in history. I mean, you know, our human nature hasn't changed. And if I don't learn this from history, I'm going to repeat it again and again and again. Just recently, it caused a big row in Korea and China and our State Department. A very prominent mayor in Japan was trying to validate some of the practices of the Japanese military during World War II. And one of the concerns that the Koreans and Chinese have had for years and years is that the Japanese history books completely overlook some of the atrocities committed by the Japanese leading up to World War II and during that war. And their concern is, you know, if we don't get this, if we don't own up to it, we're going to do it all over again. Human nature hasn't changed. So history not only sobers our kind of arrogance and our cockiness, it can also inspire us. I mean, you read the stories of Gideon or Deborah or Jehoshaphat or the Book of Martyrs. You know, if you've never read the Book of Martyrs, you need to read a few chapters. It's a wake-up call. Or read Christian biography. You know, it inspires. History can teach us so much. Oswald Chambers said this, "God is the God of our yesterdays, and he allows the memory of them in order to turn the past into a ministry of spiritual culture for the future. God reminds us of the past lest we get into a shallow security in the present." Remembering also, and I really appreciated this in some of your prayers this morning, memory is a way of priming the pump for gratitude. You know, we've said this before, but at the very heart of Pauline spirituality is gratitude. Paul never got over the fact that he was a man saved by grace. He was the chief of sinners. And what motivated him and drove him, he was just saturated and overwhelmed with the incredible work that God had done in his life. He never got over that. And so we need to not forget God's many benefits. We need to visit them and revisit them again and again. And there are many ways of doing this. In the ancient world, the courts had what King James called a remembrancer. NIV calls them a recorder. I like the word remembrancer. And one night, King Xerxes, in the Book of Esther, in Persia, couldn't sleep. And so he asked his remembrancer to come up and remind him of court activities. And so, you know, the remembrancer is just sort of obediently reading this, and he reads about a Jewish man named Mordecai that alerted the king that there was an assassination plot against him. And the king says, "Did we ever thank the guy?" "No, sir, nothing was done." So Mordecai is exalted, and he is affirmed and celebrated and applauded. A remembrancer. Some people keep prayer journals. And you know, you go back to your prayer journal when you were down in the pits and everything looked black and everything looked bleak and everything looked hopeless, and you see what God does and how he brings you out of that. You know, jogging, our memories are really short sometimes. I mean, they really are. We forget God's benefits. We really do. And we have to have something that reminds us of that. And you know, one of the reasons this is so important is God likes to remember. He does not forget. One of my favorite passages is Malachi 3:16. Let me read it to you. "A book of remembrance was written in the Lord's presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name." You know, sometimes you do something, and I just appreciated those who were working all day yesterday for a wedding that we had. We had a real country wedding. All the music was, I'm telling you what. And Helen and John Gartrell here, and Pat and Ann Fuller and others helped make it happen, and really appreciated their doing that. But you know, sometimes we do an act of kindness or mercy, and we think, nobody noticed. Nobody got it. God was taking notes. God was taking notes in his book of remembrance. Jesus says, you know, even if you give something as simple and little as a cup of water, that will not go unnoticed. Mary did something that was fairly routine in her culture. She anointed the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is proclaimed, this story will be told as a memorial to Mary. So when you read the gospel account, you read about that. God does not forget. And he sends the Holy Spirit to us to remind us of the truth that Jesus gave. May God help us to jog those memories, that we'll remember the goodness of God, that we'll be moved to repentance and experience the renewal that he has for all of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God on the prowl, observing what your people are doing in your name, and you're taking note. Lord, I don't know if you're writing in Hebrew or shorthand or Greek or whatever it is, but you will not forget. Lord, we pray that you would jog our memories of your mighty acts, not only through the course of history, but the mighty acts that you performed in our individual lives. Lord, truly, you have been good. You have been great. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond to the Lord with our offerings at this time. Thank you, Miss Margaret. Father, you are a generous God, and you bestow so many unique and particular gifts on your people. We thank you for them all. Lord, we're reminded again that we have been blessed to be a blessing. Lord, may we not hold back, but give our all, even as you have not held back your goodness to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. The theme of the camp is going to be